Good evening. Welcome to the Porcher and Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund, broadcasting live from the Firefall studio, and we're on Spreaker.com. Yes, we still have the Blog Talk Radio site. I'm using that for archives. It just seems like some people just can't seem to make the transition. Also, the iTunes account, which has been fed from Blog Talk for almost 6 years now. So, for now, we're going to keep it that way. Some of you enjoy Spreaker more, the sound is clearer, and others seem to hold on to the Blog Talk. So I'm trying to do the best I can to please everybody, even though you can't really please everybody, but I'm trying. Getting back to basics, red letter, basics. Yeshua, what did he say? What did he mean? What did he do? Looking at his life. You know, I've been just really dwelling on the messages of the last couple of weeks. See, it's not just for you, it's for me too. And tonight, I want to talk about him. I want you to know him, K-N-O-W, know him. So that's the title of tonight, but I'm getting ahead of myself. This has been percolating, this has been marinating, this has been whatever the word is, aiding inside of me, and I'm getting ahead of myself. If you want information about On Solomon's Porch, go to onsolomonsporch.org or firefalltalkradio.com. That's how you can support us. And, of course, spreaker.com/user/firefalltalkradio. Both the shows there are separate categories. Once you get the link you set, your app should pull it right back up to that spot. New video series on YouTube called A Light Reflection. Not locking myself into 5 minutes. It'll be whatever it is, whatever the Lord leads me. There's one there from last week, so go take a look. Praise report, prayer request time. That's how we do it. That's how we ride here on the porch. We're going to praise him. We're going to enter his courts with thanksgiving, and we're just going to let him know how much we love him. I praise him for my health returning. Today's the best day I've had in a couple of weeks. Praising him for healing, continued healing of all the issues and things that I've been dealing with over the years. It really is a drag getting old, but you know what? I don't care. Moses was 80, and I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to die. I'm going to fly, and I'm just waiting for the wind to pick me up like eagles and soar over the storms and the clouds and be about my Father's business. Praise for his calling on my life. For my family, my wife, my sons, my pets. I am blessed. I am a blessed man. And it's because of him. I walked away from it all. I gave it up. I threw it away, and he gave it back. That's Dad. That's an awesome Abba. Prayer request again for all of the above, for the provision and release to be about my Father's business. Over the last, I don't know, maybe a week or so, I've been watching what the enemy's doing and the lack of response from those that should be responding, and I'm chomping at the bit to be the sheepdog for the great shepherd, to get the team together, and go chase off the wolves and rescue the flock that have been captured, and every now and then when he says get them, we can get them. Brian in Tennessee, my brother Brian, his wife Cindy. Praise report for the Lord's faithfulness, for his mercy, and for his love. Prayer request, a healing miracle for Cindy and Deb and all the Firefall listeners who need and believe in miracles. Aha! There's a catch, you must believe. For wisdom, discernment, and direction. Make a left. No, I'm just kidding. Follow the Lord. He may say make a left. Go straight. Stand still. Listen. And for lost family members to be saved. Boy, folks, if that is not burning on your heart every day, as you know, the signs of the times are saying he's coming back, your heart should burn. You should weep for those that you know are not ready to go. Stacy in Fort Mitchell, praise report. They had some bad weather, but guess what? Missed them, passed them by. Nowhere near as bad as the Weather Channel made it out to be. Wouldn't it be great to have a job that you can get paid six figures, a lot of money, to be right, maybe half the time, maybe even less? That's a weather person. Prayer requests. Please continue to pray for the Fort Mitchell crew and the individuals we are ministering to, Ronald, Christina, Philip, and Angel, for salvation, healing, and deliverance. Saved, healed, and delivered. That's it. You got it. You got the phrase. She's made a new connection a few weeks ago with the boy who's the same age as Caleb, becoming good friends. She said she didn't think the relationship would grow, but it is. She's an Israeli Jewish woman, and her husband's an American soldier. So pray for them as well. She thinks she's supposed to witness to her, but taking it slow. Good idea. Let the Spirit lead. Let the Spirit guide. Still waiting to hear back from the congressman's office on the VA and her claim and extending the date. They have extended it into the summer of 2018. Wow. That's a wow. No, that's unacceptable, Lord. We need you to, we're asking that you move that to the top of the pile and for them to undo that. And please keep praying. They're praying for us and pray for them. Lori in Fort Mitchell, praise report. Expanding their outreach as the Lord allows. Seeing his power in action, prayer request. One of a little 7-year-old basketball players suffered a head injury with loss of consciousness. Wow. At school today, prayers for his healing. CT scan was negative, but he's lethargic. That's a sign of a concussion. Usually, normally a hyper little guy. Added two ladies from Kansas to their Fort Mitchell crew. Stay connected with them and agree in prayer. She's thankful for those ladies. Kim in Fort Mitchell, she got her prayer and praise in under the wire. She's thankful for the heavenly for her Heavenly Father's unconditional love that he has for her. He's never early and he's never late. Nope, he's always on time. He is thankful. She's thankful for him protecting her from the enemy and for teaching her and thanking the Lord for her testimony, for her salvation, and for the truth of Yeshua, for the cross, for her children, for her husband, her sisters, the ministry, her dog, and all the things that she forgets to mention. Prayer request. She's asking for healing and protection over her family, dog, house, cars. She wants, let me see, this is kind of running on here. Let me see if I can get it. Show her clearly what she needs to do with this incident with her son and the stolen phone. Design favor in a child support case. Healing of her body and her spirit and the strength to keep walking in his glory. Healing for her sisters, Lori and Stacy, over the home and over the VA situation. Protect Richard and his family. And show Christina and Ronald who you are. Open the heart and spirit. And the final one, it's a really good one. Come back soon, Yeshua. Kate in Pennsylvania. Huge praise report. Even though the doctors told her father that he had cancer, they found out today that he certainly does not have cancer. So praise the Lord for that. So she wants to say thank you and all the Firefall Talk Radio listeners for praying for her father. Now pray that the scales fall from his eyes and he calls upon the name of the Lord. And she's looking forward to everyone's praise reports and prayer requests. Said she writes them down as suggested and she prays for them every day. And I'm feeling better. Yes, I am feeling better from my bout with food poisoning. Nick in Dallas got one in late too. Have a friend who needs prayer. Her name is Sarah. Just pray as the Lord leads. He's been dealing with insomnia, so he needs prayer for that and a better wake and sleep cycle. Whew, that's pretty good. Father, you know about all these things before I even read them. But I read them and I speak them out loud in faith. And we touch and we agree and we come into agreement for all the families represented here to be healed, for the provision that's needed, everything that's needed, so that they can concentrate on you and not be distracted. Protection from the enemy. That Psalm 91 covering that allows us to hide in the shadow of your wings and to bathe in your glory. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you, Yeshua, for doing all of that. We pray that Christina, Philip, Ronald, Angel would be saved. We pray for this Israeli Jewish wife and her husband, that they would be saved, healed, and delivered, that you would reveal yourself to them in dreams or visions or through a word from somebody. Today is the day of salvation, Lord. So we claim it, we believe it, for those that we have mentioned here and those that we may not have mentioned. For family members that are lost, they're in bondage, they're caught up in the cares of this world, and maybe the enemy has gotten a hook in them. Father, my heart is to set the captives free in your name, to tell them about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to tell them that there is salvation in no other name in heaven and earth but Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Messiah. He alone is Messiah. He alone is Savior. As the darkness comes, let us shine bright. Let us be glorious nuclear reactors of the power of the Holy Spirit, laying hands on the sick and they would recover, casting out demons. The lame would walk, the blind would see, the deaf would hear, the dead would be raised. We thank you. We thank you for your love. We clear our minds right now, taking our thoughts captive to the obedience of Messiah, claiming the mind of Messiah, and casting down every vain imagination that would exalt itself above the knowledge of El Elyon, God Most High, our Father. Touch us in this time. Touch this word. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Holy Spirit. And we all touch and we agree in Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive and cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date for the following information. Open your Bibles, open your apps, you should be ready to go. 2 Corinthians 11. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do hear me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah. But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. For if he who comes preaches another Yeshua, another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Jumping down to verse 12, but what I do, I will continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Messiah. And no wonder, for Satan, Hasatan himself, transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. This has been rolling through me. I read a lot. I keep track of what's going on in the world. Who gets paraded on the stages? Who gets the airtime? Who gets the money? And there are many that are preaching a different Yeshua, a different Jesus, one that fits their agenda. And the preaching is slick. They have got serpent's tongues. So how do you protect yourself against being deceived? How do you protect yourself against that effort? Well, you have to know him. See, if you know him, there's nothing anybody can tell you that's going to change what you know about him. Let me say that again. You have to know him, K-N-O-W. There must be an intimacy. There must be a relationship. There must be a connection between you and him that if somebody comes along and tells you something about him that you know is not true, you can shut it off. You can turn him away. You can say, stop. You're speaking of a different Yeshua. You're speaking of a different Jesus of Nazareth. I know the voice of the shepherd, and it's his voice alone I will follow. You know, if you go to Matthew 16, we're going to be jumping around here, but we're going back to the woman at the well, because I've been thinking a lot about her. Matthew 16, starting verse 13, New Living Translation, Yeshua came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. But then he asked them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter made a confession from his heart, put there by the Heavenly Father. And such a confession from the heart is what brings us to that new birth and confirms us in a new birth. You see, this is not an intellectual relationship. This is not something you reach by what you know mentally, but what you know emotionally from the heart. 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Messiah, Yeshua is the Messiah, is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. Meaning, if you know him and believe in him, you're born of God. That's not something that happens in the natural. The Lord in Matthew 11, verse 25 through 27, prays a prayer and he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Some of you struggle in witnessing because you make it too complicated. And the church does that to you, the mechanism, organization of the church. Well, here's your little card. You know, you got to follow 7 points, 7 points in a closing, and if you don't do all seven, they won't be saved. No, that didn't work for me, and that plan has never worked for me. I've led a lot of people in the Lord, and I've done it simply by telling them what he did for me and why I believe in him and why I love him. So people don't come to a intellectual, life-saving knowledge of Yeshua. They come from a heart emotional planted by the Heavenly Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit, knowledge of him. So last week we were talking about the woman at the well, and quick little recap, and I will go read it because I want to go through it. I want to show you some things. Quick little recap, story of the Samaritan woman at the well. Yeshua sends the disciples for food and sits down. He's waiting. He has a divine appointment. Samaritan woman, unnamed, we don't know what her name is. She shows up at Jacob's well at noon. It's the heat of the day, and she does it to avoid all the other women who came earlier in the morning. She's rejected. She's been rejected by the town. She's been rejected by the other women because she's been married 5 times, and the man she's living with now, she's not married to. So she shows up, and Yeshua is sitting there, and he asks her for a drink. And, of course, there's a little discourse about that. And then he offers her a drink of living waters, of relationship through the Holy Spirit, to replace the water of tradition and religion represented by Jacob's well. You see, through the gift of revelation knowledge, one of the first examples we see of it, he tells her what he knows about her. He does what I call reading her mail. And she realizes right then and there he's a prophet. But then her heart recognizes something else. She recognizes him as the Messiah she's been waiting for. And she runs into town to tell all the people that had rejected her, risking rejection, risking everything, to come meet him and know him and accept him. That right there is basic evangelism 101. Tell him about Yeshua. And right there she lived out Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So many amazing stories in the Word. Peter knew who he was by divine revelation as a gift of grace given to him. The Samaritan woman knew who he was by divine revelation from him that he gave directly to her. See, I know that when I knelt at that altar and made him Lord of my life, I was drawn to that altar. I was drawn to that moment. It wasn't a mental thing. I didn't choose to go down there. I don't remember walking. I remember standing, and that's the last thing I remember. I remember the spirits inside of me screaming to get out and to run and to get out of here. And the next thing I knew, I was kneeling at the altar. As if angels had grabbed my arms and walked me forward. And as we struggle through these days, as we look at what's coming, there's only one thing that should be important to you, is helping somebody else become alive in Messiah. Paul started out arguing, starting out being, you know, studied under Gamaliel. Oh, he could argue Judaism. He could argue the laws. Started riots in the synagogue and did nothing for no one. Almost got himself killed. But the most powerful effectiveness came when he simplified the message. I know Yeshua and I know him crucified. I know Messiah. As you sit wherever you are, as you listen to this, simplify it. Get real. Just know him. Ephesians 2, starting with verse 1, follow with me. New Living Translation. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in his mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Messiah from the dead. It is only by God's grace you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Messiah and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united, joined with, seated with Messiah Yeshua. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Messiah. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Messiah Yeshua so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Yeshua sat at the well in the high part of the day, sent the disciples away because he wanted to be alone with the woman. He had the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. He had something to say to her. He was on a divine appointment to save a Samaritan daughter who was waiting for Messiah. He kept the appointment he made for her. He kept the appointment he made for me. He kept the appointment he made for you. He's as good as his word. It's not by anything you've done. It's not by how you prayed. It's not by how somebody prayed with you. It's not by the books you've read. It's God's grace and the love of a father that said, hey, I want you to know my son because I want you to know me. For when we were still without strength in due time, Messiah died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through Messiah Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. He knew everything that woman had done. He just rattled off about the five husbands and that she was living with a man. He knew everything she had done. He could see it. He knew everything I did. He knew all the sins. He knew all about the practices of the occult, the astral projections, sleeping in a bed full of crystals. He knew about all the things that separated me from his father. And he kept his appointment. And he made sure I was there to make it too. And what I've begun to think about is the danger of the flesh getting in the way of knowing him. If I was in a room with you right now, as we used to have the home fellowship, I would stop and I would talk and I'd ask you questions and it would become interactive. So I want to ask you this and I want you to think about it. How many of you have short-circuited or stunted your relationship with the Lord based upon what you think about you? Well, I'm not worthy, or I didn't do this, or I did do that. If that's how you think, that's bad programming that's been put into you from someone else, from someplace else, and nobody spent the time to get you to understand his grace and his love. In the 26-plus years I've been doing this, I've had people try to label me. Oh, you're a deliverance minister. You're an expert in spiritual warfare. And I've become offended by all of that. Not because it's not true. I'm a Yeshua minister. My ministry is what his ministry was. People get saved, people get healed, people get delivered. But the greatest thing I could do for you, the thing that, if I do nothing else, is to get you to know him. To get you to understand how much he loves you. To get you to understand that the mirror you see yourself through is not how he sees you. The key to all of this is knowing him. So when he said to the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And of course, Simon Peter says, "You are the Messiah, Son of the living God." And the Lord says, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, Simon Barjona, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, small rock, sliver of a rock. "And upon this rock, the major rock, the full rock, the foundational rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of Hades will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." The key to living successfully in this world, the key to successful spiritual warfare, if you want to label it as such, is simply knowing him. That's it. And I know I'll never get rich on that message. I won't sell any books. I won't sell any DVDs. I won't keep you long at a seminar, so I can't charge you for it. That's it, is know him. And spend the rest of your life getting to know him better. But here's where the flesh messes everything up. Because in Matthew 16, that's what I was reading to you about, "Who do you say I am?" After Simon Peter has this divine revelation from heaven, from the Father, after the Lord says, that revelation is the rock upon which he'll build it all, and the power of Hades won't conquer it, and all this authority to bind and loose. The flesh rears his head, and Peter messes up. I mean, it's within moments. It's not like it took a couple of days for him to mess up. I mean, we have a puppy inside. He's a young boy, and one minute he can be wonderful, and 2 seconds he can mess up. And we look at it, well, he's a puppy, he's young, he doesn't know. Well, Peter was a puppy because he messed up quick. You go with me to verse 21 of Matthew 16. "From then on, Yeshua began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law." law. "He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead." Peter must have missed that part. "And Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. 'Heaven forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you.'" I don't know about you, Peter, but that's a bit arrogant. You just pulled aside the man that you admitted was the Son of the living God, the Messiah, and corrected him. But, okay, "this will never happen to you." And Yeshua looks at him and says, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." And what he was saying, he wasn't calling Peter Satan, but he was saying that was a satanic influence in his mind, in his flesh, to interfere with the things of God. And we've all been there. "Well, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here. I'm not sure I like what you're doing here. I'm not sure I'm in agreement with you doing here." Really, what we need from here, to hear from heaven is that point is, who cares what you like? Who asked you? But he doesn't do that. That would be me. That would be what I would say with you. Ask me if I care what you like. But the truth is, it doesn't matter what we like. It doesn't matter if we agree with what he's doing. And when we don't, when we can't wait for the promise to be fulfilled, when we want to do it our way, the way Abraham and Sarah did, we create the Ishmaels of our life that are so disruptive and destructive to us. The flesh will always get in the way of this relationship of knowing him. But here you have the woman at the well. So important in theological history and teaching, and we don't even know her name. And here is he sitting there. By the way, he hasn't had his drink of water yet. He's still hot. She hasn't gotten her water yet. Her jug is empty. And he says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me drink, you would have asked him, and he would then have given you living water. The woman said, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, probably 100 feet. Where, then, do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Are you greater than our traditions? Are you greater than everything I've been told before about this well? And he drank it from himself, from it himself, and he built it and he dug it. Are you greater than all those traditions and all those stories and everything that's gone before? Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give them will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. You can drink from religious tradition all you want, and it will never satisfy you. But when you know him, and he fills you with the Holy Spirit, there's a constant flow of water. There's a constant fresh spring from the throne room that flows through you. And guess what? You get to give others drink. You get to give it to others. You get to share it with others. And she knew it. Something inside of her leapt, and she said, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Broken, embarrassed, rejected. She wanted to be free of the rejection. She didn't want to be thirsty anymore. And that's when he said, go tell your husband and come here. And she said, I have no husband. He said, well, you're right. You've said well, because you not only have no husband, you've had five. And the one you're with now is not your husband. So you told the truth. And that's when she figured out he was a prophet. And then he begins to explain to her the difference about the worshiping on the mountains, and that's not important. It's about worshiping in spirit and truth. Where are you now when you listen to this? Right now, where are you? I'm in Orlando, Florida, in the studio here. Wherever you are is good enough. Wherever you are, the Spirit can be with you. Wherever you are, he is with you. It doesn't matter the building, it doesn't matter the mountain, doesn't matter the city, doesn't matter the nation. He will be wherever you worship him in spirit and truth. Because he is spirit, and that's the only way to properly worship him. There's no building that can be built to contain him any longer. The cross, the empty tomb, and the upper room changed all that. Well, everybody's excited about the third temple. I don't care, except for the fact that it signals he's coming. I don't need that temple. I am the temple of the living God. This woman at the well, this Samaritan woman, half Jews, half Gentile, tracing back to the Assyrians, was waiting for Messiah. How many of you in a religious mindset wouldn't even have talked to her? I've seen it happen when we ministered to the homeless. I heard the stories about how they had been kicked out of the churches because they smelled, because they were dirty, and they were sitting in our family room, sitting on our furniture. Religion will always keep you thirsty and will hoard the water and will not share it, and will not give people drink. But when you have relationship, when you know him, when the water bubbles out of you, you can't contain it. You want to share it. You just want to run around and say, thirsty? You're thirsty. Would you like a drink? But they should see something in you. They should see something in your eyes. You should be able to be in a room full of people. Maybe some of those people are depraved individuals. Maybe those people are in bondage. They're not safe. Whatever it is, they should see something in you that makes them want what you have. Because, you see, that's what that meeting at the well was all about? See, the disciples came back. They see him talking to this woman. Well, not for long. She's off on a run. She's headed into town to the very people that rejected her. She's left her jug. There's no water in it. She's on the run to tell them, I have met Messiah. And they're thinking, well, did somebody bring him something to eat? We went all this way to get him something to eat, and somebody's already fed him. And he hears them. And he simply tweaks their thinking. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months, then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together, for in the same is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And he was talking about the prophets and all the people that had come before. And now we do the same. We build upon the work of all the people that went before us, even the apostles. But see, the story's not over. This woman now knows him. And she goes and tells the people, and many in the Samaritans in that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. And here's what I think. We don't see that in the writing, but I think she sensed it. She knew. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 more days, and many more believed because of his word, his own word. And then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this indeed is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. What took place at that moment at Jacob's well? He broke taboos. He broke traditions. A man speaking to a woman in public who was a stranger and not a Jew, from a Jew to a Samaritan, was not only unusual, but it was so taboo it would never happen. We need to get over the nonsense and just tell people about Yeshua. Because the salvation that she got, the salvation they got, the salvation I have, is a gift that you didn't pay for, you didn't work for, you couldn't wrap it good enough. All you have to do is deliver it. That Jesus the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua, the Son of the living God, is Lord and Savior. And you notice, when he told her who he was, he did so without asking her to change her life. He did so without putting any preconceived notions or conditions. He simply offered it to her. And after she believed, because she believed, the way she lived changed. Nobody had to tell me what not to do. I just didn't want to do it anymore. Because I loved him. And I still love him. And in ministering to her and speaking to her, she didn't understand the concept of living water. So he kept it simple. He turned the conversation back to her need as a sinner. And I know that doesn't preach well. Nobody wants to talk to somebody about their sins. Nobody wants to insinuate that they need a Savior. Let's get real, folks. It's the only thing that matters. Because all of us in the darkness of night, when the lights aren't on, when people aren't around, we know what we are. And we want to be saved. We're drowning in this world. We're drowning in bad choices. We're drowning in sin. We're drowning in degradation. We're drowning in temptations. And we need a lifesaver. I just love the fact that she ran to the village and told everyone to come and see. She was already a disciple. And she was looking to make other disciples. And you see, that's how simple it is when you know him. When you know him, you want other people to know him too. Go with me to John chapter 1. I want to show you something. Hold on, I'm trying to get a clear picture of what the Holy Spirit's saying here. I'm not lost. My notes are here. I'm good. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, right now, to the person listening that's in bondage, the hook of the enemy is so deep, and it's barbed, and no man has been able to pull it out. I pray right now, by the fire of the Holy Spirit, by the living blood of the Lamb, that that hook of the enemy be dissolved, completely dissolved, and be gone. Take the darkness with you. Take all the things, all the degradation, all the perversion, all the lies, take it with you. Now choose life. Stop choosing death. Choose life. So when Yeshua begins to call the disciples together, he calls John, he calls Peter. Then he finds Philip in John 1:43, and he says, "Follow me." Now Philip is from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip finds Nathanael. You see what's happening here? They're meeting Messiah like the woman at the well, and they're telling people. So he goes to Nathanael and said, "We found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, Yeshua." And Nathanael says to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip says, "Come and see." And as Nathanael's walking towards him, the Lord speaks and says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael says, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Yeshua says, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And they knew that that was a reference to Jacob's ladder. They knew that was a reference that he would be the bridge between heaven and earth. He still is the bridge. He's the bridge not only between heaven and earth, he's the bridge that takes you from a dying world across the lake of fire and into eternity. But I like Philip's response, "Come and see." When we meet him, we want to tell others about him. And our food is not just knowing him, but doing the will of the Father. And what is the will of the Father? That all men be saved. It isn't about building buildings. It isn't about writing books. It isn't about denominational bylaws. It's the simplicity of the gospel. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, man, woman, black, white, whatever nation, whosoever believes in him shall be saved." I was a part of the whosoever. Boy, I was pretty much whosoever. So are you. You're a whosoever. And the person you meet tomorrow is a whosoever. And that person you sit next to will be a whosoever. And we have an opportunity to participate in the harvest. Just like they spent 2 days with him in Samaria. And I'm sure they ministered with him in Samaria. With Samaritans that they never would have talked to given the time of day. And that was the beginning of the good news and the gospel in that area. A man named C.T. Studd, in a writing called Men of Integrity, wrote this. Some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. I've never had as much fun sitting in a church doing churchy things as I have being out in the field and ministering to the homeless and praying for people and setting captives free and doing what SRT does, living the word. Proverbs 24:11, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. When you know him, you must do something about it. It's a fire in your bones. Because that truth, you now know him, has made you free. And the one thing I've always lived by, he who has been forgiven much loves much. And boy, have I been forgiven a lot, and I love a lot. When you truly know him, he knows you. And there is when we get into a little problem. Because there's a lot of people, a lot, who are going to get to the end. And he's going to say, I never knew you. I don't have to read it to you. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Read verses 13 through 23 to yourself. And read the most frightening scriptures in the world. There'll be many that'll come in that day and say, Lord, Lord. And I'll say, I never knew you. Say, I don't have to worry about that. Say, I know him. And he knows me. And that's all I want you to do, is to know him. Put down the religion. Put down all the other things. Get on that narrow path. Go through the narrow gate. Stop listening to what the world's saying. Oh, Jesus wouldn't say that. That's too exclusive. He's inclusive. He wants everyone. Yeah, he desires all men be saved. But he desires that they do it according to the will of the Father and according to the word of God. And you're not entering through the narrow gate carrying all that baggage with you. You're just not. Know him. Just know him. Take stock of your relationship with him. How much time did you spend with him today? Well, yeah, I spoke to him. Oh, good. You made a call. That's great. Sent him an email, text. How much time did you spend with him? You know, when I was a baby Christian, I was just foolish for the Lord. And I would just sit there. And I wouldn't say a word. And I would say, Lord, what do you want to do? And I'd hear him say, just want to sit with you. Okay. And we would just sit there. One day he said, man, I want to spend time with you. What are you doing? Well, at that moment I was watching sports. He goes, okay, I'll just sit here with you while you watch sports. What? Really? And that's when he nailed me right in the heart. He says, yes. I just want to be with you. At that moment, sports didn't matter. Nothing of this world mattered. I just wanted to be with him. And I long for the moment when we could just be with him. But until we can, we have to be about our Father's business. Don't want fame, don't want fortune, don't want all the accolades, and don't want all the things that some of the people today have. I just want to serve him. Set the captives free. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Tell him that he loves him. Father, I come to you now in the name of your Son, hoping I can hold it together here. I'm so glad that I know you, but I'm so scared that some people I love don't. They know of you. They've been around you, but they don't really know you. And I pray all the walls would fall down, all the fear of rejection would be gone, and they would receive you as Lord and Savior, as Master, as friend. I pray right now, Father, that the cares of this world and the false teachings and the wounds that have come from those false teachings and the places where people knew religion but they did not know you would be washed away by the blood. And I pray your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, would minister to them and they would let go. They would let go of the baggage. They would let go of the jugs, the cisterns of tradition, and just want living water. I thank you, Father, for your love for us. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the empty tomb. And I thank you for the upper room. And I am excited that you are coming again. I am excited about New Jerusalem. I am excited about eternity with you. I'm excited about the lion lying down with the lamb. And forgive me, but I'm excited about seeing HaSatan wrapped in chains and all the fallen watchers and all their demonic offspring being put into the lake of fire. And most of all, Lord, I am excited about that next person, whether it's the people in Fort Mitchell we're praying for or Kate's father, whoever it is, the next report that comes. When, like the woman at the well, they'll say, I know him. I've met Messiah. And I pray that nobody will steal that water from them. They won't hand them back their jug. They won't hand them back tradition. They won't hand them back the ways of this world and the ways of men, but they'll keep them free. They'll disciple them and guard them and pray over them. I thank you, Lord, for all the women at the well that are out there listening right now. They've been there. They know how she feels, and they know your love. And I thank you for you. And I pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.